that's probably why he was rushing to get out of here and why he was late to come in. But yes, the American Maroon
document. Hold on. Not so fast. So we still gotta address this. So last time I got muted by Bodhi, it was specifically for promoting what FBA lineages and their political movement have been stating about these reparations panels and councils or whatever the hell they're doing. Doing it piecemeal, by the way, not federal. So I told him FBA is a separate lineage from Black Americans. The term Black Americans is not FBA, period. So that's why he muted me, to silence the fact that these reparations have to go to FBA organizations, not no Black American organizations, because that includes people like me, who are Black Caribbean migrants. So we need to get all on the same page about this, that any reparations council that's stating African American or Black Americans or any of the vague, unspecified lineage is deceitful from its very initiation. That's my main point. So that's what we need to discuss with Bodhi right now before he continues along this path.
Yeah, I get your point. Maybe we'll be able to confront that in another episode, but of course, you know what happened. He got up out of here. But
Just so you know, Bodhi is already running afoul of people like Marcel for Congress and other people in the New Black Media who are keeping track of these infiltrating groups who are relabeling where the reparations is supposed to be going, because he's on some Democratic shill nonsense, and I'm over here from the Caribbean like, hey, if I'm eligible for FBA reparations, you're fucking up. So we got to be real careful now, because in the future, there will be consequences for these actions.
Okay, so Tariq Nasheed put out American Maroon this past week, right, or so? And I want to check in on everybody. He definitely went through the history from us being indigenous here in America to other African groups also coming over in before the pre-Columbian era of Christopher Columbus as well, doing lots of trade with them, the Moors as well. We're going to delve right into, of course, the Seminole Wars, of course, and how we were putting the brakes, as he put it, on white people as well. Really dissecting what was really going on over here in America instead of trying to, pretend or lie and prelude to this idea that we were just complacent and docile this entire time. American Maroon. So did anybody get to watch the entire documentary or some of it?
I did. It was a lot of information, man. It was a lot of information. Yeah. Had a lot of scholars in there, man. A lot of people I've never seen and people I've seen before. Had Clyde Winters. He did a nice little segment. Dr. Randy Short. Mm-hmm. Dr. Randy Short, he was hitting hard too, man.
I wish Clyde Winters was more. You know, he got a lot to say. He got a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, hell yeah.
A lot to input about this. And they really, he cut him short a little bit, I feel like, in featuring him more prominently and what he could bring forth to the subject matter, because he got a lot of knowledge that he has. But, you know, maybe he'll delve into it a little bit more. He loves the subject anyway. But, yeah, I'm glad that Clyde Winters was able to come in and really bring a lot of depth into the conversation with the little parts that he did get to intertwine with as well. Did anybody else see it?
I only saw the first 25 minutes of it. I got to finish watching.
Yeah. American Maroon. So he started it off with, our indigenous claims by, purporting it with a lot of scholarly data that I've already been talking about and repeating for a long time. UNESCO, NCBI, Harvard. He didn't delve into even Leo Weiner, because Leo Weiner, like I said, as y'all have might have heard, you know, he's done 3 volumes of finding evidence of our presence here in America as well. He talked about York of Lewis and Clark, how it gave them an advantage of being able to communicate and convene with the natives. He gave them education on the land, the animals, the plants. He gave this to the Spaniards. Whites were there just as long as the shackled slaves, but were unable to do what York was able to do, which was to literally communicate with these native populations. I mean, that's very telling, because how is it that this black individual is able to convene and able to communicate with these indigenous populations, these natives and what have you, if there was no prior engagement as far as on a communication level? So he put that into context as well. The Moors coming in as well. We have to bring into context the fact that in 1492, that's when the Moors were exiled. It's no coincidence that in 1492 is the same year that Columbus set sail over to America, and how the entire situation was a finesse. We know it was a finesse because of the simple fact that Columbus, he needed the authority and the money to supply himself to go over to a land that Spaniards had never been to, that was only hearsay by the Moors. And once they had, they were given access to these Moorish maps and their boats and their navigational skills, were they then able to explore what this new world was. So the whole finesse game was trying to pretend that, hey, yes, I'm going over to India for spices, golds, tins, or what have you. That lie was then given praise for him to be able to come over here to a new world instead of going over into India with that finesse. Again, in 1492, there was no place called India for him to lie about and have a place name for people when he came over to the Americas. India was nothing more than a nomer and a place name for the general population of the people. And I think one of the scholars, I forgot who it was, put in the context that Indian was nothing more than a social and a political concept rather than biological. And that's been something I've been talking about for a while here on Twitter.
Hold on. So they addressed where Columbus wrote down that they are Ndio, they go with God, which pretty much means naked, which pretty much means black because they're in the tropics. So it's a social thing and a racial thing.
I don't remember hearing that, but yeah, that's great context to the situation as well. Absolutely. And Aromo, you want to say something?
Yeah, Marat, do not forget that you mentioned 1492. And 1493 was when the Doctrine of Discovery was written by the Pope. And that's when they were actually telling Christopher Columbus to go into Africa and go after the Saracens, go after the Moors, go after the Muslims, and then go to the Americas and civilize the savages. So it all ties together. Right after the Moors were expelled, the Pope literally wrote a doctrine telling them to go after the Saracens. And it's not surprising that a lot of Muslims ended up in the slave trade.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that into context as well. He also brought into context about Constantine Samuel, who was also a Spaniard explorer, who talked about the wild black Negro tribes over here in America, as he put it, Giovanni de Pier. So many fucking people. I'm sorry. Juan Guerva. they talked about how Columbus needed, and we already know, yeah, Columbus needed navigation over here to the Americas. He used many Moors in their navigational maps to get over here. That it was by no mistake that he knew exactly where he was going. It was Pedro Alfonso El Nino who helped him navigate his him and his rest of his shipment over into the Americas. They also touched on Queen Calafia. We know Queen Calafia as a, they like to purport her as a mythological character, a black woman of Amazon-like stature who ruled over in what we now call California with seemingly a bunch of other black women. Do we believe that to be more a myth, or were they really imagining black women, or what was it? Do we think there's more context to it?
Those black people were very real. The Spanish the picture I posted of the Guadalupe natives of Mexico and Southern California, that's the Kingdom of California. That's what the Spanish were calling it because they were aware of the goddess Kali from East India. So that's they just tossed that nomer on them because Kali literally means dark as a moonless night, therefore jet black skin. Therefore, the black people of the Western coast are jet black. That's also in the Russian pictures I posted. Hold on, let me repost the link. I have it already saved. I have a whole mega thread about it. But yes, the West Coast natives are jet black Somali Ethiopian phenotypes from Asia that were already here when the Spaniards traveled across the Mexican desert and arrived in the USA. So hold on a second, and I'll repost that.
Yeah, absolute. And while you post that, yeah, and one thing I also wanted to touch on, he was touching on the, again, the Moors who, again, it's been established that they had found a lot of Bantu languages, a lot of place names over here, and also Arabic languages. Oromo also exposed a lot of that Algonquin ties with the Arabic language being incorporated as well. Them seeing mosques over here in America and also in Cuba, I believe it was as well. And then once they got over here, we have to talk about what the Europeans were and the Spaniards were doing while they were over here. So, of course, they went into detail about their constant upheaval of trying to erect a successful colony, and they failed repeatedly, over and over and over again, is what we found. Yeah, the Europeans and the Spaniards came over here, and they tried to colonize America on their own. The same people who said that they came up with, or at least the ones on Twitter, they came up with cultivating corn and cornbread and fried chicken. A lot of the things that are of our substantial culture, and they want to lay claim to now. But at the same time, they couldn't really cultivate the same food enough to sustain themselves, enough to, basically sustain themselves as far as survival, right? When we're talking about survival, they had to resort to cannibalism in order to do that, you know? Croatoan. They used to write that on trees. I think it was American Horror Story that even went into context a little bit about that too. They resorted to killing themselves for survival, the cannibalism. It was complete massacre after those fails over here in America because they just couldn't do it on their own. Lou, you wanted to bring context to that? You went off.
Well, can you hear?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, Tariq Nasheed already broke that down multiple times about the failed East Coast colonies, and that's how we stumbled across the Squanto, the black native that they're going to keep claiming is from Africa eventually, but mostly they just want to avoid discussing him, period, because he predates the transatlantic slave trade, and he is not some Arabic Moor that's just washed ashore there. He is native to the Americas, and he is dark-skinned and has long, straight black hair, which is what puts him into the group called Mongoloids. So when they say the flat-faced Mongoloids are the true natives, they're saying the flat-faced black-skinned Mongoloids of America are the true natives. So there are no yellow Mongoloids when the Europeans arrive, period. And we need to really quash that nonsense, because yellow and white Asians of today are attaching to a fictional population of ancient yellow people that never existed. Or if they did, were not the majority demographic of any community. Because that's how you got the yellow Indians down in Latin America, who let Montezuma and all the other black natives get killed. So, yeah, we got to be on top of that more often. Okay. Let me land on there. I posted the link for the California natives. All these studies are within the last 10 years because they accidentally tossed in African-Americans claiming that they're all from Africa. And now they're finding all these genome markers that are clearly not from recent Africa. Like, modern Africa is a separate gene pool and marker set than ancient Africa. So what they're finding is ancient Africans coming through Asia, entering the Americas, and they were never even looking for that. So they disqualified, every single black person in all their indigenous studies. So thanks a lot for fucking up science, people. They were so racist. Oh, let me clarify that more. They were so Eurocentric and white supremacist when they started these databases that they omitted every black person who could have been an ancient founding population of the Americas. That's what they did. And now that they fucked up and added them back in, they're finding out all their models were wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. A nice breakdown of that. And they also talked about the Seminole Wars and John Horse trade. Did you see some of that as well?
Yeah, it was a good breakdown. You know, I'm learning a lot about the connection to Mexico and Seminoles, and Aromo sent me a link months ago from the Confederate general, a link about the Confederate general, his letters to Congress about the Mauritanian race in Mexico and whatnot, and how they have to be slayed and all that goofy shit. But the thing about John Horse that was very interesting is just the fact that it's just so little known about this man. Just the fact that, I mean, that's not a household name.
Yeah.
And it should be, considering, you know, the feats that he made, you know. I mean, leading a rag, I mean, I don't want to say ragtag, but, you know, a less equipped army to, you know, defeat a a more established army at the time, to the point to where, you know, they had to give you favorable terms and treaty agreements, and then making another escape from an attempted enslavement by the Mongoloid Native Americans in Oklahoma. You know, that's a win story, but you have yet to hear about that. I mean, you hear about Kunta Kinte and all that, but they don't ever want you to hear about niggas who won. They don't ever want you to hear about any sort of black achievements that were not or could not be attributed in some way to white people. I mean, that's just what it is. Like, Will Smith, for example, he just made a slave movie. 10 years ago, Will Smith was talking about making a movie about the Harker. A fucking decade ago. Y'all remember that shit?
Yeah.
How long? I mean, but he made another slave movie. I mean, this is just, man. They don't want this shit out there for the young kids to know. They don't want this shit out there to empower the youth. They want to make us out to be, you know, helpless slaves that waited for white people or people who don't look like us to show us the way to how to fight. It's the goofiest, most juvenile shit that these devils do, but it's just unrelenting. It's unrelenting. But again, we're in a war. So they're not going to teach you, you know, the strategies of how to overcome them or precedents of witches. The shit has occurred, you know.
Right. What's the thing that all the people of the other ethnicities say? They say, you guys never fought a war. You guys never won. You waited for somebody to free you from slavery. You guys didn't free yourself from slavery. Isn't that what they always say?
That's the narrative. That's the narrative. But in reality, I believe that up until I was about 12 or 13. You won't believe. I mean, that's crazy though. But yeah.
Yeah, but I think that it's on us to tell the history. There's a lot of history that we have to tell.
It is, but sometimes it just scares me because it's like I'm one of the niggas. I'm a nigga who digs, but it may be one in every 20 nigga who digs with me. So it's just like I'm a nigga who dug and I found information about, you know, how we wasn't punks, you know, how we rode during slavery, you know, and all that. But it's like your average layman ain't like me. He ain't like you. They ain't like nobody on the stage, you know. They just take it for, they take lies from white. They take lies from white at face value. And they promote, and it molds their psyche. It molds their psyche. What do you say?
Right, so it's a simple solution. It's easy. It's easy to fix that. What you do is you make TV shows about it. You make movies about it. You make songs about it. You write books about it. And you make it a household name. That's it. It's simple. It's simple. You put it out there to the point that everybody knows about it and people can't escape it.
True.
Hold on. So we're going back to the reforms of Lycurgus again, aren't we? Once again, we have to listen to ancient history and accept what they said to solve this problem. Is that what we're discussing now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what does it say? What's the first rule in the reforms of Lycurgus?
Yeah, school is on that.
Do not try to appeal to the masses. The masses do not give a fuck. What you're appealing to is those who are intelligent and who want to survive. So we got to filter through all these clubhouses and TikToks and Spotify's and Twitters and Facebooks. Find the black people who want to survive first and then make sure we're not infiltrated in step two. Step two is find the foreign agents or the spies who are on the opposing team and kick them the fuck out the group that you've collected. So it's pretty clear cut what we got to do. Like Lycurgus is talking about 800 BC, and he got it from his black grandfather, General Soas. So it's doable because the Spartans did it. this is bad.
Yep. And one thing he also touched on, too, was the fact that you know, who better than indigenous populations in their own lands able to navigate around the dangers that is America's swamps as well? So he went into how a lot of these maroon populations, colonies, and other tribes were able to not only survive, but thrive into these communities. He said that a lot of these communities were a lot of the times in those swamps until the 1900s as well. He also touched on Bass Reeves.
Hey, Marat, oh, you're right. In the Matrix.
Oh, am I? My bad.
I can hear.
Okay. He touched on Bass Reeves as well. So like I said, yeah, he did touch on Bass Reeves, in which I appreciated Black Caesar, who was another Moor who was coming over here and communicating and translating for the Spaniards. But yeah, I think it was a nice documentary. It was a lot to really digest. So, I mean, go ahead, Romo.
Yeah, I was just saying, you said that he was another Moor. When you say Moor, who are you? What are you talking about specifically?
For Black Caesar,
or just in general, when you say another Moor, but who are you talking about? So how do you know he was a Moor?
I don't remember, but he did delve into the Moors quite intricately.
Right, which is why I'm saying I think that in the same way that now.
Hold on,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear everybody.
Yeah, what I was saying was the same way that nowadays we have to delineate and distinguish different groups of black people, we have to do that same thing historically. So just because a person was black back then does not necessarily mean that they were Moor. Every black person in history wasn't good, and every black person wasn't the same. So the same way today you got different groups of black people, we got Americans, Jamaicans, Trinidadians, Congolese, South Africans. You had the same thing before. And some of those black people that came to America might have been, you know, they might have meant well. They might have been doing good things. Other ones were conquistadors, literal conquistadors. Juan Garrido was a literal conquistador. He was a black conquistador. So you wouldn't have been able to call him a Moor, especially because he had a Christian background. He's, a, you know, different groups of people.
Boy, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. But I think he did, if I'm not mistaken, I think he did say that, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I didn't really write that down to really codify that as a fact. But he did break down the Moors, the red bandanas, and how they're continuing to do so over in Europe today. And so very interesting facts for that documentary. Nicely well put. Again, like I said, if you really wanted to delve deeper, I think Clyde Winters had a lot to really delve on this to the subject on the native populations. They didn't talk much about the mounds either. I think he did mention it, but there was no, there wasn't much detail talked about it at that point
too. It was some stuff I want. It's so much stuff to talk about.
Yeah,
and it was already almost 3 hours.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, you want to pack as much info in there without killing the audience, but it was still a lot more shit to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was saying, because it's so much to go into detail about. I really can't be mad about it, because like you said, it was already 3 hours. The main point was to really talk about the Maroons and the Seminoles and that whole war, and really chipping away at that whole docile character in which they tried to pour on us. But so I get it at the end of the day, but I'm just saying it was much more to touch on.
Hold on, you're speaking about the Mississippi Delta mounds along the East Coast, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, because I posted that picture from up in Savannah, Georgia, of two pyramids that I drove by on my way to work with. I'm like, what the hell?
Oh.
They're not listed as heritage sites. They're just behind a semi-truck parking lot.
Did you post pictures?
Yeah, I think I seen them.
Yes, I did. Let me find the link.
I live about 2 miles from what I think is a pyramid, man. But they call it the Arabian Park. It's in Stonecrest, Georgia. It's the Arabian Park Mountain. But it's like I just drove, Pat, because it's kind of like in the cut. And like last fall, I just drove past. I'm like, what the fuck is this? But it's like a mountain peak or some sort, but it's not, but it's, I'm gonna take a picture of it, man. I mean, because it looks man-made. Mm-hmm. It don't look like no fucking Appalachian, no, but it looks man-made. I'm gonna take a picture of it. It's like the Arabian Park in Stonecrest, Georgia or something, man. It's like an exit for me. It's like 2 miles from my house.
Hold on, they're calling this. This one's, hey, Trey. This one's directly across from something called Cherokee Hills Cemetery. So they're literally tagging them all as black constructions without saying they're black Native American constructions. So the white people are very clearly on code about not connecting the Mississippi Delta culture to the East Coast culture at all. And I posted the picture. I'm gonna share it into the Jumbotron.
And bear in mind that that big pyramid in Mexico to begin with a T was a big mound before they started digging the mound up off of it and saw it was a pyramid. Keep in mind. So
they just found cities recently down there.
Where?
Down in Mexico and in South America. Not towns, cities.
Mm.
Yeah, it's so much shit, man. And yeah, I'm... Y'all got me curious now. I might go around the corner tomorrow, man. Hopefully it's warm. And just take a picture of it and upload that motherfucker, because it's a real weird-looking structure, man. It don't look like no fucking mountain I ever seen. It's not even that tall. Like, it's not even that big. But they say it's like a mountain. Like, it's like, it looks weird, man.
It's a step pyramid covered with soil. So exactly. These are Chinese-type burial mounds, by the way.
And it's in Georgia, man.
you know, China has huge pyramids, and the government doesn't allow people to go in.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna get shit about China. You ain't gonna never hear shit about them. Besides,
yeah, they They found the mummified African baboons in the Chinese pyramids, by the way. They don't talk about that.
Mm. What?
There are no Asian baboons, and now we're in ancient times. These are like a cultural continuity from the central Bantu people who settled Asia. But the white Chinese don't want to talk about it because it undermines their claim of being indigenous.
Yeah, I did see something. I don't think I saved it. I seen something about a population outside of Africa also having baboons. I forgot where it was. So it's pretty crazy. Yeah.
I found out the Indian peacock is really a Central African animal as well. So they brought the peahen, the Central African jungle peahen from the Congo rainforest all the way to India and evolved it or domesticated it into a shiny, glorious peacock. And they still don't want to talk about that because that means India is Bantu as well.
Aroma, what did you just post?
That's the city of, they call it the city of the lost city of the monkey guy that they found in Mexico.
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Okay.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at that later.
A city, not a town, a whole city. Like metropolitan.
Right. Was it, you know what this was dated to?
No, I'm not exactly. But it's a lot of them down there. That's why when they talk about like El Dorado and stuff, it's not fake.
What is the what is the Olmecs? They are the first millennium BC, right?
Second.
Oh, was it second?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2000 BC. That's when they left China. I mean, Mongolia, China.
Okay.
You know, they say that most of the animals in Africa are actually indigenous to America first.
Okay.
Like the North American lion.
Yeah, and speaking of North America, there is even one thing that's not really mentioned a whole lot about as well, is that Chaco culture too, and I think that was like first millennium BC, and that's over here in North America, closer to I think around New Mexico, and really delving into that Chaco civilization. It's probably something that needs to be much more readily talked about and examined for those purposes. But we already know how that shit go.
That's why we need institutions to get it done.
Yep, you're right on that shit. So yeah, I don't want to. We already at 2 hours. I didn't want to go too far. I do want to end it on one last segment. And it's something I am calling absolute fun.
Yay!
Something. Yeah, Trey, go ahead. You'll laugh. Absolute fun is basically something I just came up with on a whim. And it's basically, you know, just kind of started to, like, I guess, shooting this shit, I guess, for entertainment purposes for the audience as well. So the first time we're going to introduce this, I am going to do the classic marry, smash, and kill. And this is going to be a political edition. So, marry, smash, kill. Lori Lightfoot. What's her name? Kentenji Jackson. Brown Jackson. Or Jackson Brown. Whatever. And then Shakori Abdurrahman. Go ahead and Google that. That is that Somali politician, Trey, I was talking to you about her earlier, who's been going around undermining us with her bullshit, lies, and propaganda, posting bullshit things like blogs to as doctrine to solidify her anti-blackness. Yeah, go ahead and look that woman up. I wanted to see who wants to do a Mary Smash Kill. Lori Lightfoot, Kentenji Brown Jackson, and Shakori Abdurrahman. Go ahead.
Is it Mary Smash and Kill?
Nigga, you know how the game go.
Aroma, you start.
I'm gonna pass it off to Lusoff for that.
I'm not interested in any of them. Sorry to ruin the mood, but kill, kill, kill. I'm not even Googling their images, because you know why? I don't give a fuck. Like, they want me dead.
Yeah, I share Lou's. I share Lou's sentiment.
Yeah,
yeah, I couldn't even.
I knew they was all coons, but I wanted to see if y'all were gonna pick out of the three.
Nah, I ain't doing Lightfoot. I mean, between Lightfoot and the big head Somali chick, you know, I mean, what's the choices there? You know, for the Mary.
All right, so we just straight up doing kill, 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 and like nobody's even doing the edge of a little bit of a smash somewhere down the line.
Nowhere.
I mean,
yeah, hold on. That's an invitation to the cookout. Like, oh, these white supremacists are bad, but this one is smashable, so we can let her come to the cookout. Like, no thanks, hard pass.
What about that one lonely Thursday night? You know, Jackson might be looking a certain kind of way after a few cocks, you know.
I beers. Forgot who Jackson was.
Then she was the woman who won the nomination for the Supreme Court. The woman who does not the man, definition
the
of
man,
a woman.
Yeah, the man.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. The one who ruled against the black people who won their racial lawsuit against that jet manufacturer, Boeing, or whatever the fuck they were?
Yeah.
I mean, she could be smashable. I mean, dude, like, that's... You gotta go, like, full-on coon to even think of smashing that. It's like, goddamn, like, my penis shrivels up thinking about that concept. Like, oh, yeah, she fucked them out of all their money. They're millions.
Oh, it shrivels up. You thinking, oh, so you just turned into an entire European, that whole penis belly button effect. That didn't took place. It's fine. We will come up with more games. I wanted to absolutely do something with absolute fun. Like I said, it was literally in the moment, out of nowhere. I just text Trey. I was like, "What's that chick name? That Somali chick that been going around doing some crazy ass shit." And yeah, she on some shit. So I mean,
hold on. I just remembered something about the American Maroon thing. Yeah. Did they bring up the genome mapping results that showed 1200 BC, the Caribs left mainland South America, invaded into St. Vincent, and then spread all the way up into Georgia and Florida? Did Tariq happen to bring that up?
Absolutely not. Like I said, it was a lot to be talked about that they did not elaborate on the documentary. But I get it. Like I said, at the end of the day, the documentary was about the Maroons. And they did touch on our indigenous culture and our population and our history here. But I understand what the main goal was. It's right there in the title.
Yeah, so, hopefully on the next movie, they talk about the black people on Saturn. Hopefully
on what? Saturn? Did you say Saturn?
You ain't know about that?
Yeah, well, we're using forensics here, so we're gonna have to start talking about these genome mappings. Like, that means like Luzia woman peoples from 16,000 years ago were in the New World already across the Caribbean. That's what that means. But everyone's saying, "Oh no, Caribs are from Africa. Caribbean people are from Africa." It's like, yeah, and Asia. Let's talk about that 16,000 year Asian origin. So let's talk about it. Maroc, aren't we trolling some black Pacific Islander right now? That's my damn ancestral lineage. That's the ancestral lineage of the Caribs and the Luzia woman people. Yeah. He don't know. He's over there listening to white people and jerking them off.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. We came across a coon as...
New Guinea, Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, you seen the conversation on Romo? Yeah.
Yeah, you got international hate.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the black ones?
Yeah. The black, what other black? Is there other ones? Black
don't ones. Tell me, damn, don't tell me they're the Somalis of that region. Damn. They might be.
They are not.
Well, I just want to say, I normally wouldn't do this,
But if you talking about them, just hit up Wani. Wani said they do deplorable things. Deplorable thing. I'm not even going to repeat the shit. Just ask Wani the shit that they be doing over there when they get married. There's nothing. Well, and you know, I don't want to down my sickle cell carrying brothers, but you know, if that's what we're doing, we can go there. We can go there. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all.
You talking about the Papua New Guineans, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about them Papua New Guineans.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Wani.
All right, that's enough on Wani. I mean, speaking of Saturn, we do got, they are saying that it's a possibility that the moon Europa over in Saturn may possibly have life forms underneath that water crust that they have over there. I mean, that's the only life form that I've ever heard about as far as intergalactic.
Oh, yeah. The Saturn thing is, you ain't heard about the, should I even say it?
Absolutely. I mean, we could talk about it on, what's that drone called? Rogue Theories. Absolutely.
You ain't hear about the seven for black people from Saturn?
I saw a video with that old white man.
You ever read his book? The one that he worked at NASA?
No, I ain't watch it. I mean, I saw the video where he was going crazy. It was like 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I read his book.
Yeah, man. He basically said that the motherfuckers look like dinkers, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, I the way I took it was he looked like Kevin Garnett hopping out of an Escalade, but you know.
Yeah, he was shook up, man. I didn't know if it was his meds or what, but something definitely had him shaking up talking about that one.
Find full episodes of the podcast featuring straight facts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, check out our Instagram for more Marok Oris content, including the shop and our subscription service for exclusives. Peace, Mer.